Scott McKay is away this week. Instead, we're joined by Dan McGowan from WPRI.com. Hi there, Dan.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Chairman Igliosi, back in June 2016, a proposal was introduced in the city council to remove city councilors if they were in serious ethical trouble. That might have helped the city avoid the spectacle where former city council president Luisa Ponte refused to step down for a while after running into legal trouble. Why has that measure never gotten a hearing in the Finance Committee?
Well, let's talk about that process. You know, that's a city council process, and it self-regulates. And the present city council rules and the city charter and the Robert's Rules of Order provide for all those types of occasions and all those happenings, and it provides mechanisms to address them. And it worked. At the end of the day, the will of the council prevailed, and we move forward. And it's all about not one person can be greater than the whole, and the system does work. So I think it actually shows that it did work. So it was only like a 4 or 5 day conversation, and the council acted, reacted, and addressed it, and moved on.
You're saying the system works, but I'm sure you're aware that the members of the minority faction on the council feel that their proposals don't get heard. Another example is one that is aimed to prevent the policy of former city councilors returning to city jobs to increase their pension benefits. We've seen that with former councilors like John Lombardi and Balbina Young. Is it really good for the taxpayers that you are acting as a gatekeeper and denying ordinances like that one from being heard in the Finance Committee?
Well, not all those types of ordinances in my committee, but, you know, that type of ordinance, you know, I think there's a lot of value to having people have past experience in running city government. This idea of constant bashing of people who have participated in the system, put their names out there, campaigned, got elected, learned the system, and by the way, and had their neighborhoods benefit from that. I think there's a great benefit from having people great experience. There's nothing worse when we have people have no experience. They come into government, and then it's a whole process of trying to figure out where the men's and ladies' room are.
So the trade-off is worth it in terms of higher pension costs for more experience.
Well, you know, I think when you talk about higher pension costs, it's nominal. There's not that many council members coming into city service, so it's a nominal amount.
All right, let's go to Dan McGowan.
Chairman, we're now more than two months since Council President Aponte resigned his leadership post. That's obviously set off a talk about who will be the next council president. Are you seeking to be the next council president?
Well, I would be honored if my colleagues elected me council president. But, you know,
are you campaigning for it?
Well, I, of course, I would love to hold the mantle of being council president. But it does take a lot of energy and effort as chair of finance. You know, we're doing a lot of the, you know, everyday bulwark of the city council business. As you know, we passed the budget 3 years in a row, no tax increase. We just did the infrastructure bond. It's a lot of energy and effort to do that. So, you know, I'd love to do it at this point in time. Worst case scenario, the council stays status quo, and then we'll all look into next term.
Do you think there will be a vote before or in the next year for council president?
I think at this time, pretty much everything stays status quo. I don't think there's any great urgency because everybody is getting along. Everybody's trying to work together, and everybody's trying to do what's best for the city of Providence.
The I-195 District Commission gave an initial approval recently for a 46-story residential tower proposed by New York developer Jason Fain. Some people say if this project goes ahead, it would show Providence is open for business and be really good economically for the city. Others lament that really nothing gets built in Providence without a major subsidy. Do you support this proposal?
Well, first, let's say this. I think if you look at the skyline of the city right now, I think there's two cranes up there right now. There's two brand new buildings being built from the ground up on tax stabilizations do work. It's a positive economic tool. And there's a trade-off. Empty lots, nominal taxes, two brand new buildings paying more taxes.
So do you support this particular proposal?
Well, I don't know all the specifics, but I do find it interesting that they would agree to a 46-floor tower in that area, because one of the big things in that area was always about the pristine nature of the east side and, you know, the colonial look of it. So that's going to be an interesting question I'm going to ask to say, how do we justify that aspect And is the is it balanced off correctly? Is it worth the benefit to have, you know, the new tower versus what the skyline will look like?
Chairman, on that issue, it sounds like the issue that will eventually come before the city council is a zoning variance. Can you imagine a scenario where the city council would vote down a zoning variance that the state probably wants to happen?
Well, you know, I think it's important that you have complete public conversation about this because there's a lot of positive aspects to it, and you need to hear people's concerns about any negative. I mean, use the mall. The mall's a perfect example. The mall, way back when, I got to give credit to someone I hold dear and near to my heart, is my brother David. He was the majority leader at the time. And the mall, if people don't realize, was only built because of 8 votes. 7 council members voted against it. He had to get the 8th vote on a Sunday afternoon. If he didn't get the 8th vote, that Province Place Mall wasn't going to be built.
I want to ask you to switch gears about the pension system. This year, Mayor Alorza proposed a bill at the State House that would have created a regional water board that eventually would have either been able to purchase or lease back some deal with the Providence water supply. That money is considered would be earmarked for the pension system. It failed clearly this year. Is there any other way to save the pension system short of selling or leasing the water supply?
The pension system is a complicated animal. First thing, every day the city has to live and breathe pension reform. And every day it has to manage the money we have. And we've done an excellent job. But our cash flow is about $8 million a month. And that burn rate is what's, you know, drilling down on the principal. So the city needs to talk about getting contract reform, having all new city hires pay more into the system, get less, take longer to get. But as you know, I argue that argument with the proposed fireman's contract, which is the first ever 5-year contract where the city forego and has basically passed on any type of meaningful pension reform.
We're talking here with John Igliozzi, chairman of the Providence City Council Finance Committee. There are many people who love living in Providence, but find themselves eventually moving out of the city because of concerns about the city schools. They feel they can live in another Rodin community with better public schools. What do you say, Chairman, to people with those kind of concerns?
I think first they need to voice their concerns. Second, the city needs to do an initiative called the Middle School Initiative. City of Providence and most urban districts, we lose our children. We lose the ability to keep teaching them at the middle school level. And when they're in elementary and that young level, the teachers and the school system can get the program, get them educated, and they're malleable, if you want to say. When they get to middle school, the young men and women there realize that they're young adults, and it becomes more difficult for the teaching of them. And then we lose them because there's less parent participation, less any type of guidance, any parental participation in the child's life. And that's where the city loses them. We need to do a middle school initiative and drill down on that, and then we can save more kids so they get a better education in high school.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us from WPRI.com, Dan McGowan.
Thanks for having me.
And the chairman of the Providence City Council Finance Committee, the Ward 7 counselor, John Igliozzi. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.